The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name, those you have given to me, so that they may be one just as you are one with me. When I was with them, I protected them in your name, the ones that you gave to me. I guarded them, and none of them was lost except the son of destruction, in order that scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world, so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them because the world does not belong to your word. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belonged to the world. Consecrate them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world, and I consecrate them to myself. I consecrate myself for them, so that they may also be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
These days, our Gospel readings are taken from a section in the Gospel of John, which is, as it were, the last testimony of Jesus with his inner group, with his disciples. He's anticipating his death. He's going to leave them. And now he is praying for them. He is praying with them. I've always wondered about when somebody is approaching death, it's a time of consummate and ultimate truth. I've been in my ministry over many, many years, at the bedside of many people who are dying, or dealing with people who are termed to be terminally ill. And the whole world changes. When somebody is dying, or somebody is rendered or decided to be terminally ill, everything changes. All the ambitions and the grudges and the meanness generally disappears. Sadly enough, when somebody is dying, there's also another side to it. People can get selfish, they can be demanding. Anticipating the reading of the will can cause conflict. But in the best of circumstances, in which we're looking at in this gospel reading, the last days of a person's life are times of truth, times of forgiveness, times of caring for others. There's a very tender, kind part in the manner in which John interprets this here in the life of Jesus. He's caring for those he's leaving behind. He's worried about them. Protect them from the evil one. Allow their bond with me to be the proclamation they will make to the world. In the old days, we used to meditate on death. We don't do that much anymore. I don't hear people saying we should really pray for a happy death, or we should reflect on dying and what this means to us theologically and personally and in faith. But there is a certain depth of understanding of life when we come close to an experience of death. And that's what we're looking at here in this gospel. We're looking about, as it were, in some ways, the equivalent of the father of a family, and he's dying, and he's going to say, now, what's the last prayer of every parent? Hold the family together. I've seen it countless times. Any divisions, forgive people. Bind yourselves in a community of love. Let the Holy Spirit and let the presence of God flourish in your midst. be protected from the selfishness of the world, the conflicts of the world, and hold your family together. That's the same prayer that Jesus got here. Be one as I am one with the Father and he is one with me. It's the final prayer for unity. And, you know, when we speak about unity, it's going to be the great witness of God's presence among us, is a statement of unity. Are our families united? Our church united? Do we care for one another? Do we reach out to one? That's the ultimate witness of an authentic church. Absent that, there's something wanting in the life of a church. There's a lot of controversy these days about who gets to go to Eucharist and who doesn't get to go to Eucharist, for instance. And there's a bigger question. The bigger question is, for us, who some people say we qualify to go, are we a Eucharistic community? What's the effect of the Eucharist? Is the effect of the Eucharist that we become more Christ-like? We're more unified? Now that we have been receiving the Eucharist, what does it do for us in our lives? Does it change us? Does it make us deeper and more caring and more generous? What are the effects of the Eucharist? We don't talk much about that. We talk about who may go and who may not go. We don't talk about all the people who go to the Eucharist, the power of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Does it show an impact in people's lives? Are we a Eucharistic community? Are we a community that welcomes people, blesses people, understands the struggles of people? Are we a community of unity where we belong to one another? We understand one another. We're patient with one another. We don't make judgments about one another. We listen to one another. Oh, that's exactly what Jesus is praying here in the last section of John's Gospel, is that this Eucharistic community will witness to the world the impact and the power of the Eucharist in their lives. It's worth thinking about that we are nourished and enriched and lifted up by the Eucharist. And then sometimes when I go out in the parking lot, people say, well, I didn't like the homily. I know, but did you receive Jesus? Well, I did, but the homily wasn't good. I didn't like the music. But did you receive Jesus Christ? Well, I did, but the music. I wonder what an impact this Eucharist has in our lives. As Jesus prays for a community that will be unified, will be one, we care for one another, suffer for one another. That's the power of the Eucharist. And that's the great prayer of Jesus in the Gospel of John, in the longest of our four Gospels, testimony that Jesus gives at the Last Supper. The great prayer of unity. So when we listen to the word of God these days, and they're all taken from this section of John, carry with us a real prayer for the grace of unity. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer. In our prayer, we wonder, how much do we really care? We have children massacred down in Texas. Does it matter? What shall we do to correct this? What sacrifice will we make? What generosity will we show? And we have the appalling war going on in the Ukraine. So, in a strange way, those people belong to us. Their pain, their suffering, and somehow touches us. It should make us more grateful for what we have and more united with people in pain. That's what it means to live out Eucharist. So we pray for that grace as we journey through today. Amen.